I'm just going to do it one more time.
Party time! Video games! All the girls, comedy, and bitches! Party time! Video games! All the girls, comedy, and bitches!
Okay, cool. Jeremy, I'm just, you know, I'm happy that you're here more than anything.
Always.
Every day that you're alive.
You mean still alive, yes.
Every day that you're still alive is a happy day for
Watch
me.
Watch me put down my butt at age 40. Goo-goo.
Boo, putting it down. Oh, my gosh. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Quality Time.
Woo!
Home of Quality and Time, guys.
Yay!
We're all here again.
We're not tired.
We're here as fuck.
We're all fresh and
We're fresh.
I just had my diaper changed. It feels so good.
Hell yeah, you smell like baby powder and sexual activity. That's weird. That's
about
a
right.
weird thing to smell about.
About right.
Like rug burns and tobacco.
Heck yeah, yeah. Joined by the very lovely Kimberly Ambrose, first
hey.
And foremost. Kimberly, how are
hey,
you, ma'am?
I'm really exhausted. I had a super awesome weekend.
Okay, great. Kim, you're wearing glasses tonight. Can
I
you
am.
Tell us a little bit about this? This
well,
is never... First of all, she came down here and I was like, Kimberly, I had no idea you wore glasses. I've known you for like 6 years and this is the first time you've ever felt comfortable enough to let us know about your astigmatism.
And my answer was, I don't have one and I don't need glasses.
Oh, they're vanity glasses.
I found these at the Magoobies Joke House, Lost and Found, and... I wear them so that when there's large crowds that I'm bringing in to seat, that I look authoritative. And
nice.
It works every time. And Jeremy was wearing his glasses, and I was like, well, I want to be a cool guy.
That didn't help you get a bit. That didn't help the baby that got through your watch. But you
know
what?
I
know. We'll bring
that wasn't
that
on me.
We'll bring that back in a minute.
That wasn't on me.
Also joined by our other host, the other hostess with the mostest, my blood, my brother, Mr. Jeremy Woodworth. Jeremy, how are
yes.
you?
I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm sorry. Who's joining
Every
us
time.
On the show tonight?
I am actually Sean Spicer tonight.
Sean
I lost
Spicer.
My job, and I decided to go into podcasting with you guys.
Cool.
And, you know, I try to be nice to the public to tell the public about what Trump's doing, and Trump just said, just tell them to go fuck off. And I was like, I have to talk to the people like they're people. No, you tell them to fuck off. I'm fine, I quit. I'm Sean Spicer.
Ooh, can we call him Spicy Spicer?
Yeah, solid. I'm Spicy Spicer.
Solid Spicy
I'm also
Spicer.
Gonna, I'm also going to be the sixth Spice Girl.
Yeah.
So, the Spice Man.
Yes, Mel B and Sean Spicer. Those are the Spice Girls, everyone.
So hot right now.
If you're going to be my lover, I got to have some spice. The spice is the...
It's the way the spice is the key to the universe. He who controls the spice. What if the movie Dune was just about controlling the Spice Girls? Is
starring Sean Spicer.
Rewrite.
Yeah, so. Dude, that
but
would
still
Jürgen, be,
you're still Jürgen Prock now, though.
That would be the funniest. That would be the funniest remake of a movie you could make is if you remade Dune and it was all about the Spice Girls instead, and they were the main currency in the futuristic landscape of some far off planet.
And the fat guy with all the boils all over him, the Baron. Instead of that, you know who? James Finn.
James Finn.
James
starring.
Finn.
Thank you.
I'm starting it early this week. Thank
yes.
You.
Thank you. We got our obligatory James Finn reference out within the first 3 minutes
Ooh,
of the pod.
I feel lighter.
I just want every single listener to look up James Finn on Facebook after each and every time we mention him.
And then buy
podcast.
A house from him.
You yes. buy four goddamn houses, okay? That's he's our only sponsor. He's our only patron. That's the only person that we have in this world, okay?
I just feel one day he's going to get a customer that's come to him like, wait a second, you're James Finn. We're not going to buy something from you. They mentioned you in that podcast. Those bastards.
Oh my God.
Those bastards.
You're realty's biggest monster.
Oh my God, you're a realtor.
They said you like children. You bastards.
Well, wow. Okay. You know, another reboot. I was last week I was actually on another podcast. I was cheating on you guys.
Oh,
and
bitch.
Probably by the time you guys hear this, it'll be out. But I was on Big Time in Comedy's podcast called Paco Has Balls.
Nice.
Also, Kimberly has been on.
I was
well.
On.
I have been
and,
on. It.
I believe well, it's Paco's Got Balls.
Paco's Got Balls. I was on the Paco's Got Balls podcast. But we also talked about the reboot for Jumanji, and we thought about how funny it would be if instead of this like shitty PlayStation-level video game that they got sucked into, which is this Jumanji, doesn't have the goddamn board game, already a problem in my eyes.
Agreed.
But if instead they got sucked into a jungle world, which is actually like what the Jews consider purgatory, and it's actually Jumanji, so it's just filled with...
Oh my God.
With millions of Jews, like, oh, what's up with these latkes? This is the worst place I've ever been. I can't even get out of Jumanji.
There's nothing to eat but all these glazed hams. What are we going to eat in Jumanji?
We're just stuck here for eternity. It's the worst thing in the world until our Savior comes.
I so, feel yeah, like Jew. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard on a Sunday.
Jumanji.
Oh, man.
We in Quality Time would like to say we love Jews.
Hell yeah.
More than any other race or people.
Yes,
and
agreed.
And have high regard for Jews.
Yes.
We do. Any other people. We love the Jews. That is a fact.
So
about
I just
want
to say, go Jew.
Go Jew.
Go Jews.
Mazel Tov.
What if you remade Pacific Rim, but instead of kaijus, it was just... Jews that came up from like the ocean depths and battled giant robots. Like,
what if in Jaws they were just riding on a giant Jewish dude and he was like, "We're gonna need a bigger Jew."
Gosh. Oh
my God. No, you're stupid. No, you're stupid, okay?
Jews' eyes, they don't look like a man's eyes. They're different. They have little dollar symbols in them, which is very stereotypical. But I seen one once when I was in a German U-boat. And
have you ever heard Dave...
Jeremy's completely disarmed,
do you
by
know
the way,
Dave but... Anthony? He used to do Walking the Room podcast. He wrote for The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he has a joke... Okay. Anyway.
No, yeah, Dave Anthony. I love yeah. that guy. Yeah, absolutely.
Shame Chamber.
He's my favorite bass player from Van Halen.
Totes. Yeah. Totes McGoats. He has a joke about he sent his kid to a Jewish school because it's a better school. So they were doing this thing. It was some kind of ceremony, and there was a horn involved. There was some kind of trumpet involved. And they were at the grocery store or something like that. And this lady who knows them came up to them and was like, "Oh, hey, Finn," like his son, like, "What's going on, man? You enjoying school?" Like, he's like 4. He's, "What's going on, buddy? You enjoying school? What are you doing in school?" And he goes, "Jews have horns." And he was like, "No, that's, you can't. All right, we're leaving now."
That's it. That's it for this one.
See, that's how the kids, that's how they get it from their racist parents. You
it's
know?
So precious.
But, you know, when you see a Jew with a really big shofar, it is really impressive, you know? Because those really, like, those 3-foot ones, they cost at least, like, $200-$300.
Mm. When Heck I was yeah. in, when I was living in New York, I saw a Hasidic Jewish gentleman riding a skateboard, and I was like, now that is what you live in New York for.
Right?
That's what I pay all this rent for. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Could he do a couple of moves, like spin the board underneath him while he's going and everything? So
also, how much do you guys miss Modest Yahoo? He was amazing.
You know, I love that that song he made.
That
was
one
great.
Song was
that
really
was,
awesome,
was really
and
good.
I want to go to there.
He was good. You know, he was. I would say he's ahead of his time, but he's actually 2,000 years behind his time is really what I meant to go with on that.
Can I finish up Kim's joke with my favorite Jewish skateboarding movie?
Yeah, there's, wait, there's more than one?
Yeah, it's called Gleaming the Jew.
Gleaming the Jew.
Sorry, that's the best I had. I apologize to everyone for that.
Gotta love
not being
you
a bad, not just being a bad joke, but a bad racist joke.
Mom, I'm proud of you. Gleaming the Jew, we yes. did it. We got there. Jeremy, you got to see your do I dare say your idol? Is that what you would call him? Or
no, I would call him. Are you ready for the music?
I'm ready whenever you are.
I'm ready right this second. I'm ready for any
Jeremy,
as soon as you start it.
Jeremy, you went out this week, and during your day job, you run into a lot of movie theaters. You see some things. And you got the skinny on a special someone coming to visit the DC area. Mm. And
all right, I will give a little intro to this.
A little intro. Okay. My hands are off. My hands are off.
So I got a last second call to build a Dunkirk standee at the Air and Space Museum, which is actually Air and Space and not Aaron, like Aaron the son of
what the fuck? You kidding me?
You mean Nick Carter's little brother?
I've been living
Aaron Carter.
I thought it was the Aaron Carter Space Museum.
I know. Exactly. That's what I thought.
For the last 30 years of my life.
What a fucking joke.
Aaron Carter is like 23, and I thought for the last 30 years it was Aaron Carter Space Museum.
So, of course, my favorite, the Lockheed IMAX is the best theater probably in all of Maryland area because they have their super special LED projector that nobody else has that because it costs a gosh awful amount.
Right.
So I build my Dunkirk standee and I knew it was going to be a special event, but I hear somebody in earshot saying, "Oh yeah, Christopher Nolan is going to be here tomorrow." Which I proceeded to get myself in to see Dunkirk with not only Christopher Nolan opening the film to talk about it, but also to do a Q&A afterwards with CNN's Jake Tapper. Yes, Jake Tapper.
Whoa.
So, Jeremy.
Holy shit.
When you hear about this news, before we get to the actual event itself, I mean, I've known you for a long time, okay? My whole life. I've known you since birth, okay? You're pretty much the drunken, abusive father
I never
had.
You were not around when I was born, but you were around 12 years after.
No, since I was, since I was
since
born.
Since your birth.
I was talking about my own life.
Your birth.
Not everything's about you!
Your birth, when you were born.
When I was born. Wait till you hear the songs that we did, Kimberly, goddamn it.
Wait.
I can't wait till you hear this.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Jeremy's mispronunciation in one of the songs is so phenomenal. But back to Jeremy's story. Jeremy, how do you, as just the man that you are,
as
coerce
a
person that you do business with to actually let you in a place that is a high-end event, right? So because let me just explain what Jeremy's wearing right now. He's wearing a brown shirt, cut-off shorts, and it says free hugs. And he's covered in psoriasis dust everywhere. It looks as if somebody has dusted him for prints before he came down here. How does a gentleman like you, who's a bit eccentric, a bit of a oddball, go and convince a gentleman of a legitimate business on their biggest day that they're having, bringing out a $500 million projector to show the debut of a movie and having the director come there? What do you do to convince that man to let you in?
Can I stop you before you answer? I want to revise his question. Another way to ask that is to say, Jeremy, how is it possible that people, knowing who you are, knowing what you do,
they don't.
How do they let you in a room?
Thanks for woman-splaining
that you're
for
welcome.
You mean into a woman's bathroom?
Anywhere, just a room with other human beings.
Well, you know, I'm an acquired taste, much like tequila or sulfuric acid. So, you know, you either live or you don't.
So you call this guy up. The guy gives you the skinny on it. What does he say when you say, I want to come immediately? But what do? You jade your enthusiasm or do you, what do you do?
I pretty much fell right at his knees and started unzipping his zipper. He's like, I will start cleaning that knob right now because of this. I'm going to clean it until you tells me I can get in your fancy smancy show. I literally blew him like three times in a row in front of like 30 people.
Did you like pop it out of your mouth for a second and look up at him and go, I have literally sucked dick for less than this?
The last time I did this, it was to get into a Carrot Top show. And I did pass out a couple times. So. But it was the best Carrot Top show I've seen. So, yeah, you know, any of you guys have been fans of Interstellar or maybe the Batman films. I was actually a fan of Memento. That was my one film that I liked more than any other that stood out. So.
It is probably Christopher Nolan's greatest work. So you get there, Jeremy, and you are as I understand,
yourself.
You're ushered outside because, listen, freak, can you wait outside until we can see if you can wait in? Do I have this wrong?
No, I had the guy's number, and he wasn't answering his phone, so I didn't have any real credentials. And, of course, all these other nicer people with nicer clothes are walking in, pretty hot-looking news reporters, like Jake Tapper.
And, Jake Tapper from CNN. So, fake news.
So, and, of course, finally, I start getting... He finally comes out. He gets one of my texts, and he's like, I don't know, I talked to my... Talk to my boss, and he's like, I don't know, he might not get in. And finally, he's like, one thing he said, you're going to have to wait outside the vestibule out in the heat, which is like almost 100 degrees, and I'm just sweating balls out.
It is a balmy time in Baltimore, in Washington.
I just love picturing you sweating, looking so eager to get in, just like standing outside the door like, hi guys, is it warm in there? It looks like a nice Christmas dinner you're having.
Exactly.
What's it like to have parents?
I'd rather it be like freezing cold snow than just like a man dying of heat,
yeah.
Just pouring down beads of sweat down face. So finally, I got lucky, and he's like, why don't you try coming around the front door? I come around the front door, security puts me through, and he's like, well, you can stand here and wait for your buddy, and finally, buddy didn't come, and then I was like, I think that's over him over there, and they finally like, oh, yeah, you can go talk to him, so that's how I
nice.
Snaked
wow.
my way in.
But nice. While you were waiting, didn't you see the entourage come past you?
He came right next to me, and I missed getting a facial shot of him by like a millisecond. And as soon as I saw him coming up on me, I'm starting like shaking to try to hit the record button
aww.
On my phone.
Yes, if you look at Jeremy's video on, if you check out Jeremy's Facebook page, Jeremy Woodworth, the weird one with the clown picture, you can see as you see basically the back. It might be Christopher Nolan. It might be Greg Kinnear. It might just be
someone's dad.
It just might be a single gay father walking with his eight children.
Maybe.
We're not really
sure.
We don't
know.
I think it was Michael York from the Island of Dr. Moreau. So
you got in, and they actually you not only got in, but you got to sit front and center, front stage of the new IMAX thing, which is where the interview was conducted with the CNN guy,
yep.
Correct?
Far off to the right, I tried to stay away, try to be inconspicuous because I'm probably not supposed to be there. So, but yeah, front row, and there was like literally
don't mind the giant 300-pound man here. He's not really here.
And I was still profusely sweating as I came in. So I'm sure a couple of people looked at me like, why is that big fat ass sweating in there? Unless he just got in or something. So other than that, it was good. But Christopher Nolan's very straight. I don't think he made any real jokes or anything. He was probably just a little bit nervous to see whether his blockbuster boot was going to be real blockbuster or maybe only get 30 million this weekend or whatever the numbers are. So,
but, how was the movie Dunkirk itself?
I wouldn't. The only tiny complaint I would even say is maybe the story just being a little bit weak, but the action and the cinematography and the performances are just dead on.
I'm going to say
just
if there's
awesome.
Action
nice,
and there's
nice.
Any story, there's
right.
too much story.
Right. Well, you know.
I don't require that.
The only actor that I even recognized other than Tom Hardy, I think the old British actor who's done like Henry V or something, who's very, very big time British actor, was the kid from the Casual Vacancy who got his girlfriend killed. If you ever seen the Casual Vacancy, that's like a little miniseries. That's awesome.
Where do you put the film Dunkirk on the scale of modern World War II films that have been made? Like,
I would say
you're Saving Private Ryan and on.
I like Private Ryan probably the best because of the action, but I think Dunkirk's might have better dogfight action.
Mm.
And a lot of good plane action. Okay,
didn't have
cool.
as much violence as Saving Private Ryan, and maybe you could like the story.
Well, the historical thing about it is it's about Britain's greatest retreat is what it's about.
Right.
I mean, it's about all the British lives that were saved because they were about to get their asses kicked.
Oh, I forgot the main creepy guy from 28 Days Later plays the only real bad guy other than the Nazis.
Oh,
so,
okay.
The lead zombie guy who survives the zombie apocalypse, much like Grimes in Walking Dead, by sitting okay. in a hospital bed where you see his dick. So
nice, so. Nice.
Holla, 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 holla.
So, all right, let me just
see more movies with people in hospital beds with their genitals
that's
out.
That's what I'm talking
that's
about, baby.
That's my favorite movie.
Sick dicks, that's my shit.
Let me give you a Spitfire response, okay? And all I want is a better or worse than a movie that I name. All right, better or worse than Saving Private Ryan?
I'd say just as good.
Just as good. Better or worse than Fury?
Almost as good. Not as good as Fury.
Fury is a good movie.
I'm sorry you mentioned the Fury. I fucking love the Fury.
Fury is a fucking really good film. Better or worse than Inglourious Bastards?
I actually like it almost better than Inglourious Bastards.
Better than Inglourious Bastards. Okay.
Almost
wow.
Better.
But you think Saving Private Ryan is better
Inglourious,
than Inglourious Bastards.
Inglourious Bastards has great story, as Tarantino always does, but action-wise, I wouldn't say as good, and not as great cinematography.
It's also not as realistic.
Yeah, I mean, it's more for entertainment and funny also.
I think it's awesome, but if you want a World War II movie.
Yeah. But those dogfight things, I mean, you're on your seat almost like it's a fucking roller coaster ride, and you're like, oh my gosh. And he's like, oh yeah, we got the guy. It's like, all of a sudden, you're getting fucking hit from the side, and you're like, oh fuck. So
I've been listening to a weird plug here, but I've been listening to another podcast called Hardcore History. If you guys aren't familiar with it, I highly recommend it. It is not funny. It is not.
It's all about pornography.
It is about the history of pornography. It's a
hardcore
42
pornography.
It's all about hardcore pornography throughout history.
The fisting years.
He's a radio guy that breaks down. Who just loves history and breaks down in long form. Like, he has a six-part series I'm listening to now that's called Blueprint for Armageddon, which is about World War I, and it is fucking amazing. But, like, I think we lose track about, like, World War I and World War II. Like, they're little footnotes in history that we kind of read about, like, Hitler killed Jews, Franz Ferdinand got assassinated, it started World War I. But when you think about the human losses that happened...
Yes.
I mean, in World War I, over 7 million military people died in that conflict.
That's fucking crazy.
Can you just imagine 7 million people dying in that? And then you get to World War II with more advanced technology and that. 60 million human beings.
A lot
left,
less people at the grocery store, am
left
I right?
This worse. I mean, you talk about the Holocaust, and the Holocaust is, yes, 6 million. Now, times that by 10, and that was the total casualties that happened over World War II.
Yes.
Just think of, when you really think about how many human beings left the world.
I'm sorry, I'm in the funeral
that.
Home business. I'm salivating.
That's so crazy to me. Like, and Kim is so comfortable with it, but but goddamn, Hardcore History is really good. He really gives. He's really breaks down a lot of good human aspects of the theater of war.
You confused me more than anything.
What
sorry.
Do you love more, history or getting pussy?
Probably history.
I'm gonna say pick one.
About being honest with myself, history is. I have done more for history than I've done sexually for any woman ever in my life.
Right on.
History is historic. There's nobody writing about what Eric's done in the sack.
I feel like it. Okay, here's a tweet. History is historic. - Eric Woodworth.
Eric Woodworth. Social studies class, 2007.
I just wanted to go out on a limb and say that I was a Holocaust denier.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, because...
Okay, I don't know where you're going with this. Go ahead.
No, because
they throw out
this like 6 million number all the time, and I've always been a believer that it was only 5,999,000. So
yeah, they're always
why don't you just deny one person, you dick?
The Jews, they're always stingy on everything except for their rounding up. I'll tell you that. Tell you that much.
No, I'm not a Holocaust denier. But you just deny one person, you're still just an asshole. So.
I made a horrible joke years ago. I did a show in Pikesville, which is where Jews come from in Maryland. And it's the Jewish homeland in Maryland. It's called Pikesville.
Yes.
So I was doing a show in Pikesville, which was a comedy promoter named T. Brad Hudson's room. It was called Jilly's, and it's in. I'm there, and it is basketball season, and there are the basketball playoffs are on. So 80% of the bar is there to see that, and nobody's there to see comedy, and they are not turning off the TV. So this is what the night is, right?
Sounds about right.
I go up there, and there is a whole table of legit Hasidic Jews that are sitting in there.
They look like Amish people.
Yeah. They look there's a whole table of Amish people sitting in downtown Pikesville.
Did they bring their horse and buggy to the show?
Yes. No, but I have done a show in PA where there was that as well. I'm very well traveled is what I'm trying to get at, and
cultured.
I'm here, and there was only one rule that you are not to make any type of religious or political jokes.
Right.
But the way the show was going, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take a shot at it, and I did a joke that I wrote that night that shouldn't have been done. It was dangerous. It was a dangerous joke to do immediately.
Okay. I'm going to guess it had to do with circumcision.
No. I keep in mind, we're in downtown Pikesville. A lot of Jews, okay? And I decided to close my horrible set, which nobody's listening, except for the table of Hasidic Jews that are sitting really close to the stage.
Oh.
And I go, I was just like, hey, you know, my friend told me not to say this joke, but I was just like, you know what? My friend Sean Laskowitz said I was going to his motherland. He's a Jew. I'm going to the motherland known as Pikesville, and he wanted me to share this joke with you. Can I share this with you guys? And they got really excited. They were like, okay. What did Jews hate the most about the Holocaust?
Well, I don't know. What do Jews hate most about the Holocaust?
How much at Holocaust? Which,
Jesus.
I want you to know, the table of four that was listening, all of Hasidic Jews, standing ovation.
Yes.
Standing ovation.
Yes.
Standing ovation.
That's my people.
When I got off stage, I got daps. I dapped up four Jewish men right
That's
when I walked off of there.
That's fucking awesome.
And then after that, T-Brad was like, I told you no religious stuff. I was like, hey man, the Jews loved it.
How are you going to get mad if it worked?
It was the best.
But did you die though? But did you die?
Did you die though?
You're
did
fine.
You did you die though?
Even Helen Keller thought that was hilarious.
Yes, yes.
Helen Keller was like, I did not see that coming.
Listen, I love a classy.
Or hear it.
I love a classy Jewish joke. Have you ever seen the trailers for the History of Comedy on CNN? They have a History of Comedy, and they have Rob Reiner, who tells this one fucking Jewish joke. He was just like, a Jewish son goes to his father, and he says, Dad, I need $50. And the dad goes, $40? What do you need $30 for?
Which is, I've heard that. That's
which
great.
Is such a good, that funny joke, but you can't say that as a human being who isn't Jewish. So
I'm so tired of people taking offense to things.
I'm sick of it.
I hate to say that everything that Dawood Shabazz posts that's really racist now, I fully encourage. It's like even to the point of like F those cracker motherfuckers, and they just love it.
I'll tell
every
you what.
Single time
I tell you
now.
What. Dawood hates him some crackers. I'll tell you that much. And I like that I'm cool with him. You know what? If the race war ever happens, like Charlie Manson said, my savior. You know, I want to know that Dawood Shabazz, if he kicks in my door, I'm gonna be like, I'm cool, bro.
I'm cool with that. Yeah.
Kim, you went to the Big Apple.
I went to the Biggest Apple there is.
Tell us about how your trip to the Big Apple
It was
went.
So exhausting. It was so good. So I signed up for the New Talent Showcase show at Stand Up New York, which is a really cool low-key club. They have professionals come up at the beginning of the New Talent and at the end of the New Talent. At the beginning was a guy named... forget his fucking last name, but his first name was Matt, and he's one of the guys who gets invited to take part on The Daily Show.
Oh.
Which was cool, so I got to talk to him. And
look at you, big time in comedy.
Yeah, well, you know what? Comedy is all about networking. Like, that's how you get on shows. Like, you just talk to people. He was like, when you're in New York, tell me again, I have a show I can put you on. I was like, when you're in Baltimore, let me know. I have a show
that's
for you.
That's how the show, the IT crowd got started.
Oh, really?
Networking.
I hate you.
I'm terribly lonely. Leave me alone. I'm crippled by depression.
I'm so lonely. No, Todd, not now. So yeah, I went up and I was excessively nervous, and a bunch of my you have to have bringers. If you don't know what a bringer is, it means you have to have X amount of people as deemed by the club you're playing at for certain showcases like this, new talent shows. It's usually eight. You usually need eight people.
Ooh, that's a rough bringer.
Eight
people is a lot of people.
That's
to bring.
A lot of people to a city I don't live in.
Yeah.
So I got really lucky. Mike Black, who I love dearly, he was going to go up there anyway to hang out with Jessica Brodkin. So that left space in the car to bring three more people. So I brought the sound guy from Magoobies, Brian. I brought RJ Jackson and Sam Kelly. And then we met a friend of mine from West Virginia, Casey, and her fiance, John, up there. And then they convinced two people in the lobby who were there to see no one that they should be there to see me. So
nice.
I ended up having like nine people. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, that's awesome.
Because you realize that would be my only plan, is to go out and convince people as they're walking in, hey, you here to see anybody?
It's
hey,
really hard.
Will you go to see me? No, yeah. I would panhandle. That would be my only plan, is what you did for your last two people.
What I did was I purchased all the tickets. So I told people, like, it's already paid for.
Yeah.
You just have
to
come in and pay for your drinks or whatever. I had a really good set. I worked for like 2 or 3 weeks before that to prepare my set.
Did you tell people that Jim Norton has caressed your feet? So.
I didn't, because I don't want special treatment.
No, you take that special treatment, Kimberly.
I won't.
Why won't you take the fucking gifts you've been given?
I won't do it.
By the way, if Lisa Lampanelli had fucked my feet, I'd be walking around and be like, hey, Lisa Lampanelli put her badge. I put my badge in her fucking cunt. That's what I would walk around saying all the time. If I was you, I'd be like, I fucking fingered Jim Norton's cock with my pinky toe.
I don't want to say who, because it'd be fucked up to do that, but somebody twice on two different occasions, like weeks apart, months apart, had made comments to me about the fact that they don't think it's cool that I'm sexually active. And I was like, okay, I don't really know what to tell you about that. I'm a grown woman.
I'm right here.
So, I mean, you don't love it. No, it was a female. She said that to me. And one of the things she said to me, I was talking to Raheem Mostafavi at the cellar door, who's a very nice guy.
Yeah,
he's
awesome,
very cool.
Dude.
Right. Easy to talk to. And we're laughing. We're having a good time. And she comes over to me and she says, I just think it's funny that every time I see you, you have a new sexual conquest. And I was like, whoa, bitch, whoa. Now, this was literally the weekend after some special things had happened in New York. And it took every ounce of me not to be like, bitch, you have no idea. And I didn't. Because it's not about that.
You ain't even on my level.
I'm not. It's not about that.
You ain't even on my level.
But I will talk about it on a podcast.
Hell yeah. That's what we're here for. So you had a good set. Where was the venue at, actually?
Stand Up New York is, oh gosh, it's all in the 70s streets in Manhattan,
okay, cool,
I think.
Okay, cool. Tight.
If I'm remembering that correctly.
And then you went to Creek in the Cave?
Went to Creek in the Cave. It was super fun. And one of the things, when you do a new talent competition, they invite you that they give you a... They videotape you, and you can purchase it from them.
Okay.
Which I want to do, because I forgot to bring a second shirt, and so the shirt I traveled up there in is the shirt I ended up having to wear on stage. So now there's a video of me doing stand-up at Stand Up New York in a Last Podcast on the Left t-shirt.
Nice.
Like a fucking professional.
I like your style. No, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I've been more conscious about what I wear on stage lately.
You're just giving, you like Last Podcast on the Left.
I do, and there's like pentagram and like a skull smoking a joint, and it's like, I don't want the audience to have a reaction to that.
If it was me, I would have wore my Kenny Omega New Japan Pro Wrestling shirt, which looks metal
nice.
As fuck. And
nice.
You know what? I'm giving money to Kenny Omega, and I'm okay with
but
that.
But that's a look that fits you. That's a look that fits you. Like, I'm
Last Podcast on the Left fits
but
you
I'm a,
to a T.
I'm a tiny little blonde lady, and I come in with pentagrams and skull smoking joints and blood splatter with axes on there, and they're like, okay, this is... And then I talk about how I help women through childbirth.
Or as Kim knows it, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Okay,
that's how I live my life.
Right? Be yourself. Be
sorry.
As soon as they come out of the room, I brand them with the pentagram.
Yeah.
I have a lot of problem. You know, image is a big part of doing comedy.
Yes.
And there's two things. One, I tried to for a little bit to see, could I be the comic that dresses very nicely? Can I be a button-down shirt combed over to the side? Which is funny because whenever I do myself up, no matter how nice I can look, the best I can look, I always appear to be the fat gay guy from Modern Family. That's my good look,
but
right?
Like plus
that's,
sweaty.
But plus sweaty, yeah. Right? He's clearly powdered. Never. Yes. I mean, never. So that, like, my best look, I look like the fat guy from that, which is a good opener. People are like, hey, what's up, guys? I know you've seen me on Modern Family and stuff right. like that, which is a good opener.
That
but,
is.
You know, I don't want to rely on that. I find myself, I'm 100 times more comfortable wearing a backwards hat, a t-shirt.
Okay.
And jeans, reluctantly wearing jeans. Yeah. I'll let you know that. I fucking hate that there is a goddamn rule that it's unprofessional to wear fucking shorts on stage.
I get it.
It bothers me. It bothers me to no end. And when I become popular enough, if I ever reach this stratosphere where I'm one of the top 20 comics in the world and I have a Netflix special, I can tell you that Netflix special is being filmed in cargo shorts. And I'm gonna mention it the whole time. You're like, this is a faux pas. I want you guys to know that. I had to fight tooth and nail to get to this level where I could be comfortable on stage finally.
I think all the audience should get in for free if they're wearing cargo shorts. And then you
exactly.
do a crowd shot.
That's exactly what I'll do. And I don't care if my fucking special is filmed in the dead of winter and there's 4 feet of snow. You bring cargo shorts, you switch in the lobby, you're getting in for free, pal.
Yeah. RJ and Sam and I were kibitzing about comedy, of course, all day. And one of the things we brought up was that, like, in stand-up, there is so little. There is so little. There is nothing there. It's you and a light and your ideas and a stool. And that is why every little thing matters. If you're wearing shorts, are you wearing Vans with no socks? Do you have your keys on your belt loop? Are you...
Most important, Velcro shoes.
Velcro fucking shoes. Golden Girls. Yes.
That really sold Vietnam Tom more than anything else.
No shit. Yeah, no doubt. It makes you look mentally handicapped.
One of the most successful comedians in the world is a fucking cable guy that wears a flannel shirt with no sleeves. That's all I'm saying, okay?
Because
That's
it
all
fits
I'm
the cable guy.
But I want to be the guy that can be that comfortable.
Then you
That's
gotta,
all I want to do is work to that goddamn level,
Then
Kim.
You have to write hacky, I surf, and I...
I'll
trade Pokemon cards.
I will trade Pokemon
yes.
cards. I will do whatever I need
you
to do.
You gotta
be
the cargo shorts guy if you're gonna wear cargo shorts.
We're the most comfortable. Damn it. I'm just saying.
I want to be the really bad cable, the really bad Larry the Cable guy who just says a couple words, but every other second, get her done! Every 5 seconds, and like,
so
okay,
I was,
this sucks. We're fucking walking out.
So I was cooking some stuff in my kitchen for my wife. Get her done! And she came in and she was like, get her done! Hey, did you finish that? And
what's the deal with get her done?
All right.
It also that I'm more popular. I'm not the most popular stand-up comedian, but I'm a show stealer at Die Laughing Productions, and I wear whitey tighties on stage.
Yes.
And it's a goddamn hit.
Yes.
And when I can finally get to that status where I'm like, Bert Kreischer is my hero in so many respects because
yes.
he gets to perform shirtless
always.
All the time. So I want to be the Bert Kreischer of men's legs. That's what I'm saying. You understand? Like, that's
I
where I want to be
yes,
in my career. I want to take it
you know
to where women are fighting to get the nipple freed on Facebook. I want to fight to get men's legs freed on any open mic.
You know
that's
what?
Where I want to be.
You're going to get there.
Yes, thank you.
You're going to get there.
Thank you for respecting a white man's struggle in this world. That's
I see oppression and I honor it. That's
okay.
what I do.
Okay, I've been thinking about this for years and I don't even think it'll work. But I've really wanted to do it for years, and I haven't bought the costume. But I actually have the whole bit in my head worked out.
Talk to me.
Whether it would be funny or not, I'd still want to do it.
I want to know what it is.
And that would be really, really super gay Hitler doing stand-up.
Yes.
Fancy Hitler.
With a big, giant, what do you call those, pink scarf tied around my neck.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, and the whole thing is that... The funniest thing is the old films that you ever see of Hitler is that he never really hiled sometimes. I guess he'd get tired and you'd just go, he's just barely hiling.
Like the worst raising your hand for a vote that just like you were ashamed that you're voting for.
Like maybe it's like, oh, didn't you write Mein Kampf? Like, well, what is your struggle? Well, my biggest struggle is sitting down after a good night.
Does anyone else like painting?
I tweeted out a joke this week. They got one like. I don't like to brag, but I said...
Sit down.
Because it's Artscape this week, and I was just like...
Ooh, who's
playing? I was just like, you know, if Hitler had never failed out of art school, he would have started that furniture company he always wanted called Mind Comfort.
Was that one like from me?
No, it was from just a random bot. That was the best I could do.
That's cool.
Columbia Comic on Twitter, guys, if you'd like to follow me, because I don't have a lot of followers. I'm getting to that point.
And he's got gems like that you're missing out on.
Yeah, you're missing out, because I don't... The things on Twitter that I do never show up on the Facebook feed. My Facebook feed, hot. It's a hot, constant thing. But the Twitter... Deep cuts. Mm-hmm. You get deep cuts.
Yeah, that's
when you
how
go
I do my
that.
Twitter also. And it's kind of like a notebook.
And then you get dope ass videos on Instagram. So yeah. I make a whole array. So each thing you get a little bit something different.
That's how I do my Twitter.
That's how I tweets it.
That's how I tweet my Twitter.
I was doing my Twitter, and then my mom walked in on me, and I had to cover my Twitter.
I had to cover my Twitter. I was flipping my twits around.
I gotta go to the doctor. My Twitter is all fucked up. This is bad.
Is my Twitter supposed to, like, you know, ooze some sort of liquid? Is that...
I've had some Twitter discharge over the last couple of days. And I'm very perturbed by it.
Oh, so when I was at Creek in the Cave, I ended up talking to this super metal dude. And he introduced me to Lupe Rodriguez, which is a deep cut person that you and I both know as being one of the, what do you call it, a moderator or administrator for the Facebook page?
Yeah, for the last podcast
for
on
last
the left.
For last podcast
yeah.
on the left. So Lupe is awesome. He's a big part of the last podcast on the left production side of things, the live streaming, the Facebook, the live show. Like, he's a big part of what they do. I'm a fan of him because when people post stupid shit that isn't relevant on the Facebook page, Lupe will come on and be like, here's the fucking rules. You will be kicked out if you don't put pictures of Jeffrey Dahmer crime scenes, and you have to stop asking people what they're going to name your new cat. It's fucking retarded, and we don't like you. I love him.
There is one thing about the last podcast group. It is a very sensitive group. I will tell you that.
I'm so over it.
They are the most sensitive. Listen, I hate to use the alt-right term snowflake, but there it is filled. It is a goddamn galleria.
It looks like Tony Montana visited. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a galleria of just the softest, emotional, so fragile people.
I joined it when it was way cooler, when it was just before they took off, sort of. And it was the more relevant stuff, true crime things, creepypasta stuff. It was really cool. But anyway. So we were at Creek in the Cave, me and the crew and I, the Bringers. And we met Lupe, and he was in this full face makeup. He had like white paint on, and then around his eyes was all black, and it looked like he kind of drew like squigglies coming off his eyes in black, and then he did the same around his lips.
So he looked like Sting and the wrestler.
Yes,
Sting.
Yes. So he does a show called The Church of Black Metal.
Ooh.
It was really fucking cool. I want to give you the pictures so you can put them on the Quality Time Facebook page, because it was really cool.
Yeah, check Quality Time Facebook page to see the whole thing. Are you not an admin on that?
I don't think so.
Well, you will be by next week. I'll tell you that much. By the time you hear this goddamn pot, you'll be able to see them, and it'll look like Quality Time is posting them.
So basically, he does like sketches, these little like live sketches of like... He wears a jumper, and his nipples are just flying free. And it's like studded. He's got like metal fucking like band shit everywhere. But his voice is real soft and sweet like this. And he's like, oh my God, we're going to the seventh circle of hell, y'all. I can't even wait. He had characters. And then in between the sketches, I thought this was hilarious. They had three different comedians do just their normal sets. But the guys wear all red, their entire face or head is painted red, and the girls wear the Lupe, the white with the black on. So this girl went up with like full like ICP looking black metal makeup on, but she did her set. She's talking about how, like, she got too drunk and fell asleep in her roommate's bed, but she had no bottoms on. She was like, I had the decency to keep on a bra, but apparently when I come in my house, I take my clothes off like they're burning me. Like, no, no. And she, so it was really funny, but keep in mind, she looks like part of the family from ICP. Like, it was just such a weird spin. It was so great.
Was she at least 300 pounds?
No, she was like a normal New Yorker. She just was like a short kind of like, I don't know, curly hair, dark skinish sort of looking.
Jewish.
A Jew. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Really cute. Really cute.
Everybody from New York is a Jew.
Kimberly, in other exciting news, you have just inherited / been bequeathed with, bestowed upon you, a new room in Ellicott City, the judge's bench.
Woo!
Which now you are the caretaker.
I'm so excited.
You have always been the caretaker.
Tell us a little bit more about you taking over the reins from Bill Monahan.
I have bequeathed. I've queefed all over this open mic. So Bill Monahan started this room, which was really cool of him, because obviously after the demise of Cacao Lane, we needed somewhere in Ellicott City, and we needed another open mic, and we needed something local and easy to get to. And luckily the judge's bench, it was nice enough to oblige. So
And for those listeners who don't know, Ellicott City is a suburb outside of Baltimore, about maybe like 10 to 15 minutes. There's a big beltway that goes around
in Columbia. Yo.
It's a real big
it's historic.
It's a real big thing, but it's a historic place. It's very artsy. They have lots of historic
a lot of Hillary voters, a lot of people
that hate Obama or hate Trump, love Obama, and are worried that Obamacare is going away and it won't affect them at all, and a lot of things
like that. Turquoise jewelry.
Yeah, turquoise jewelry.
A lot of that.
There's tons of turquoise shots. There's a spiritual reader. Mm-hmm. It's a very historic, like, think 1800s, early 1900s building styles. That's what a historic Ellicott City is.
A.K.A. haunted as fuck.
Haunted as fuck. And, like, walk down a street and know that all of these buildings at one time house slaves. Like, that's the kind of place
ghosts.
It is.
Yes, exactly.
And we're all mysteriously killed at one time over history.
And now you are the character.
I'm the caretaker.
The judge's
Bill
bench.
Decided he wants to retire from doing a weekly show, which I don't blame him. That's smart.
It takes it down on you. Can I be honest with you? When Bill has been always wanted me to do this, and I was just like, you know who you should ask is Kimberly Ambrose, because she will 100% A, do it, and B, do a really great job.
Have you seen her boyfriends?
So.
She'll take anything.
Yes! Have you seen that?
So what I'm doing is I'm changing it a little bit. I am going, we named the show instead of just being an open mic. It's called Haw. It's called, let me get this right.
Oh shit.
Haw and order.
Haw and order.
At the judge's bench. making some fun flyers for it. I'm going to host the beginning of every show, and then I'm going to have someone come in halfway and then have them take over as host. We're going to do a co-host thing.
Across the sky.
Yeah, it's going to have that pick-me-up in the middle.
I like it.
And
I really
love any time I get to host is beneficial for me, so I didn't want to take that away from anyone, but I also wanted to make sure that the room is being started on a high note.
Right,
you know?
Right.
We got it. I want people up there, people in the seats. People have a good time up there. It's going to be a fun room. I've been thinking about, I have to buy an amp. I really would love to cover it in fuzzy pink material just to add a little character to the show.
Yeah. Turn it up.
I was saying that to a friend of mine. Wouldn't that throw a show completely off? Is if you just covered the handle of the microphone in really fuzzy, thick pink material. So when you went up there and you were like, yeah, so my dad died, and me and my family have been getting through that. But you have this obnoxious pink 60s poof. I just think that'd be fun. That's fun for me.
That's what any member of Fog Hat would do.
Yeah. If you respect yourself as a man, that's what you do.
Kim will meet you halfway across the judge's bench.
Yeah, I will. I will. I'll meet you halfway. I'll give you a high five. That's how I fucking roll.
I've seen Top Gun like 1,000 times just today.
So that's every Monday at 8:30, and it's free, and it's upstairs at the judge's bench.
In historical Ellicott City, definitely check it out. It is the the heir apparent to Coco Land, which no longer exists.
R.I.P.
And definitely and check that out, man. Like, it's a good place to do comedy. If you're new, if you're old, you're going to have a crowd of people there. It's a beautiful place. And definitely check out Kimberly Ambrose there every Monday night now.
You sign up through the email.
Heck yeah, Coco Land Comedy. At Gmail, if you guys are interested that are listening.
And if you're in historic Ellicott City, if you see even get like the slightest drizzle, run for your life to the high ground because you're going to die. Because it's a dangerous place when it rains.
It's a flood zone, you guys.
Kim, the room that I book, which is every third Tuesday at the Wits End, which is attached to the establishment that you work to, which is the
where I got these glasses,
Magoobie's Joke House. They have a bar that is attached called the Wits End, and they have four different comics that book each week of the night. Every other night is you show up and you can just sign up, and it's a straight open mic. Mm. But I do it a little bit differently because I have access to a very large emailing group that I've built over the last like 5-6 years.
It's awesome.
And I have my own emailing group where I book the show, and there is a comic I also changed it because I give up a little bit of money to give somebody a shot every week who is going to feature. Okay, so, and it's somebody who's going to feature and do 20 minutes who in the local scene here in Baltimore, as small as we are, is finally going to get a shot to do 20 minutes.
That's awesome.
And it's geared for that. It's not geared for the more seasoned comics. It's geared for like young up-and-comers who are really funny that don't get the opportunity to do 20 minutes. This is their shot to do like a good feature set and really get geared up for some good things. And it's called Up Next. It's really great. And the show has been really good. It's been to the point where like I get other comedians who say, hey, is this room worth doing? And people like Rob Mayer, who hosts the last week of every month, goes, Eric Woodworth's room is worth driving down to come down here and go do.
Right, instead of promoting his own, which is in the same room.
Exactly. Instead of promoting his own, he'll go say, Eric's is really worth coming down to. And I'm not a special person, but I do. I try to make a very good show.
Yeah.
I always come into any show saying, I want to make a 90-minute show that is really good. Whether it's all just comics that are doing 10 minutes or whatever, it's going to be over in an hour and a half because that's an important part of any
agreed
show.
Agreed.
So
can I promote my room?
Yes, Jeremy.
Well, like your
it.
Bedroom or like
it's off 100. Nobody knows where it is because it's like an abandoned house. But I already have like the chains and the padding where the kids can be locked up.
Okay, this is a hardcore molest joke, and we apologize to all of our listeners because Jeremy somehow managed to sneak rape into here.
I haven't had a kid in weeks, but if you know any kids,
Jeremy, stop it! God damn it! You're blowing our cover.
I don't say tell him to stop it. This is America. I say we just stab him when we go outside. So, you can say whatever you want. There's fucking consequences, though,
bro. Exactly. Stab him. Stab him.
Well, you're just a bunch of closed-minded alt-right.
So we are... I had a gentleman that has come up to another show before, and his name is Tony Viagra. Now, Tony Viagra has been...
Does he come hard?
I've mentioned him on previous episodes. I will let you know. I had an interaction with this gentleman that definitely has shaped my life in a way. It has shaped my life up till now.
Wow.
Because he's an older gentleman who has gotten into comedy recently.
Okay.
And
late bloomer.
I have this thing where I don't care if you're older than me. If you've been doing comedy for X amount of days and you're not as important as everybody else, then you're not as important as everybody else, right?
There's a hierarchy.
So I put him on the Coco Lane email list, and he signed up for the judge's bench, all right? I saw the lineup come out because Bill is part of the email group as well, and he put Tony Viagra in. He came to the Wits End.
Okay.
On Monday night.
Okay.
Wondering where the show was. There was no show. So he's an old gentleman. So I feel bad that he came up there. And, you know, Bill doesn't always explain, hey, the show is here and that. And so I understand. I'm like, listen, that's it. And then he came up on Tuesday night. And the first thing he says to me is, goes, Bill Monahan put me on the show tonight. And I was just like, And I gave him, I immediately tilted my head from straight looking forward to him to a 90 degree angle and looked him right in the eye and was just like, no, he didn't. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
No, the fuck he didn't book you for tonight because I book this show and I book it.
Yeah.
And I know he didn't book it because I saw you on last night's show for the judges bench, which is in Ellicott City. And he goes, well, I didn't know it was in Ellicott City and blah, blah, blah. And I came up here last night and I was just like, he was like, well, can I get on tonight's show? And I was just like, well, you weren't booked. So no. Yeah. And I told him straight up, I was just like, listen, I might be able to get you up, but you're not going to be up anytime soon. Let me see who shows up.
Sure.
Maybe I can slide you in. I was peaceful. Well, everybody showed up who was booked on the show, which is a rarity.
It is.
Usually if I book like six people, I almost anticipate that somebody will not show.
Sure.
So I had him and then two other comics that showed up, just seeing if they could get time. And I told him straight up, listen, I have a feature and I have a set amount of time.
Yep.
I want my feature not to be bumped back because it's not fair for the feature to go up at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
I want them to go through and her to get her primary time, which is Nikki Fuchs, and she's getting her, you know, her shot to do 20 minutes.
Nice.
And he looked at me like I had fucking run over his goddamn dog. Like like I had just, I had committed some type of crime and it was my fault. I was like, no, the fault is on you that you drove down here from PA. That's not my fault that you drove down here from PA when you weren't on the lineup and then you asked for time. And I didn't say he couldn't be on the lineup. I just said, you're going to have to wait until Nikki goes, which is going to be about 10:30, which is an hour and a half away from where I'm talking right now. He's like, oh, I just can't stay that late. I got to wake up too early. I was just like, well, that's not my problem. Right. I looked him right in the face. I was like, that's not my problem that you didn't
What
read.
Does this guy look like?
He looks like the gentleman. Do you remember the Six Flags commercials?
Does he wear a white sweater?
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
He wears a suit and tie, and he's very elderly, and he looks like the old man that used to do the dancing commercials for the Six Flags, ugh, where it's like, I don't know if you remember those commercials. They were very big in the late 90s. Jeremy is holding his fucking head like it's about to explode in scanners right now because he can't even control himself. So he's going on and on. He was like, I was like, dude, you can't get on tonight unless you wait till the end. I'll have you the first up after everything happens. He's like, I just can't wait that long. I just can't wait that long. I was like, well, that's your problem. He's like, I have to wait up at 5 a.m. I was like, so do I. Yeah. I was like, sister, that doesn't bother me.
Right.
And your mistake isn't going to make me bump you into the show.
And
right?
Guess what, big guy? If you leave now, you have just enough time to get back to where the fuck you came from and get a good night's sleep.
Exactly.
It's funny how that turned out, didn't it?
So he ended up, and then he came over to me, and I watched his set the first time when he was there the month prior.
Okay.
And this dude is spot on Rodney Dangerfield. Like, he is Rodney Dangerfield when he comes up.
Holy shit.
And I'm not saying he did his jokes because I didn't Google them, but I'm guarantee if I Googled some of these jokes, they would come up. And if they weren't Rodney Dangerfield's, then they were street jokes. Okay. And I'm not, this isn't me being a dick, but I guarantee if I'm not saying he looked on the internet to see what they were, but they're just, they're hacky jokes. Okay. Yeah. So he was like, so what'd you think of my last set or whatever? Cause he was trying to get feedback. And I was just like, dude, if I'm being honest with you, you sound like Rodney Dangerfield. He's like, well, that's not my fault. Like, he got real defensive. I was just like,
yeah,
I
it
was
is.
Like, well, that's not my fault. Blah, blah, blah. And like, I was just like, he just happened to sound like that. And I was like, listen, dude, I looked at him. And I was like, listen, it's not your fault that you sound like Rodney, but you asked for my feedback. Okay.
Sure.
And this is my feedback. And I'm saying you sound like Rodney Dangerfield and you do a very Rodney Dangerfield like pick. It was so funny because the first time he came up, when I got back up to go, as he was clapping him off, I was like, this guy gets no respect. Am I right? Am I right? And everybody, all the comics immediately go, yes, he's clearly Rodney Dangerfield, like knockoff. And then he's just defending the fact that, oh, I don't sound like Rodney. Like, that just happens to be how I sound. I was like, dude, you can take what I'm saying or leave it, but you came to me and you asked me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to tell you this, but you sound like Rodney Dangerfield. It sounds like you do his jokes. It sounds like you might even be doing his actual jokes that he wrote. So and don't come at me if you don't want the truth. If you don't want a harsh criticism, then ask somebody else. Because when you're asking me, you're asking me to dissect an act that you did And if you're not using it to get better and you just want to defend your badness, then fuck you. Like, I can't do anything about that for you.
Have you ever seen that interview with Vanilla Ice when they were asking him, like, didn't you totally rip off this beat? And he goes, no, I didn't, because the original that you're talking about is dun 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 dun. Mine is dun 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 dun. Get the fuck out of here.
No, he just dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Totally. Oh, so different.
Yeah,
get the fuck out of here.
No, we got hi-hat in our beat, okay?
Yeah.
Let's not get crazy.
Whoa.
Guys, I think that is our episode.
So
right
good
there.
To be
I think
back.
That's it. God damn it, it
always.
Was good to be back.
Yeah,
golly.
Accomplishing things, making things happen.
We have some big shows coming up. First and foremost, you guys, if you're in the Baltimore area, come to the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Coming up on August
11th
and 12th. It is going to be a phenomenal show. Three shows. We're doing three shows. One on Friday, two on Saturday.
I believe so. Yes.
Yes. It's very much worth coming. I just ordered the flyers for it, so you also should come. Kimberly, where can people find you at?
At Watch Me Doing This on Twitter, at Panic at the Deli on Instagram. The Second Saturday Shit Show is free at the Auto Bar the second Saturday of every month. We have Nick Oldershaw headlining this month.
God damn.
And every single Monday at the Judge's Bench in historic Ellicott City.
When do I get to get back on the Second Saturday Shit
You're
Show?
You're coming. We're talking about that now, actually.
God damn it. I just want to be on again. And you can find all things Eric and comedy at ericcomedy.com. That's Eric with a K, comedy with a C, because I'm not a psychopath. Jeremy, you can find at your local grocer's freezer. Guys, thank you. Have a wonderful night. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. God bless. Quality time.